Back to you, Terry Flanagan. And the first of two reports you have for us tonight.
Busy man, Derek, here. Not just Dana, but Terry as well. Anyway, not long ago, you had Jesmond Harding in studio with
yes.
you. He was talking about the plight of our butterflies and moths. And if I'm not mistaken, he brought in a visitor for yourself and Aina to see.
It was huge, huge.
It was the pupal stage of the Death's Head hawk moth. And I know that both of you wanted to know how it got on. Well, Jesmond rang me recently and invited me over to his house in County Meath because it has finally emerged Ooh. And he wanted me to see it before he released it back to the wild.
Fantastic.
Come on in, Terry.
Okay,
Great
thank you.
Great to see you again. And
yeah, I see you have a very unusual netting, or it's like a cage here.
Yes,
is that it?
This is actually from IKEA. It's a wash bag. It's a mesh wash bag. Brilliant for breeding butterflies and moths in, actually, and great for keeping them in. And in here, I have a Death's Head hawk moth. It was sent to me by a lady named Christine Rhodes as a pupa in September. I was talking to Derek and Aina about it,
yeah.
and they were fascinated with the pupa. It was wriggling in my hand, and they were looking at it in shock and horror. And it is quite scary, actually, to see it. I brought it into a few schools. The kids all wanted to touch it. Some of them were terrified. Some of them ran. But it's a fabulous thing, and it's hatched. And here it is, a magnificent creature. So I thought, I promised Derek and Aina that I'd let them know when it hatched. So here we have it here.
Okay, so what we're going to do now is we're just going to open this cage. Oh, I can see him. He's up here at
that's
the top
it.
Of it.
Yeah, that's it. A massive thing. My wife was shocked when she saw the size of it.
Right.
So here we go now.
Right. And he's right up at the top of
right
it.
Right up at the top.
Oh, he's
yeah.
a monster.
Oh, it's huge. Yeah. It's the wingspan is just over 5 inches. So it's easily our largest moth. It's a rare immigrant. It's really at home in Africa
yeah.
and Southern Europe, and it migrates north. The larvae will feed on potatoes, but nowadays with modern chemicals, they tend to be killed. But in at allotments and places where chemicals aren't used, these are the places you might still get them. Anyway, here it is here, and you can see the skull mark on the
yeah,
thorax.
He's a monster, and on his thorax, you can see what looks exactly like a head, a human head.
It does look exactly like a human head. And it was featured in the Silence of the Lambs, the film with the moth. The moth has long gone down in our folklore and history as an omen of death, as a harbinger of doom. So its scientific name is Acherontia. Acheron is a river in northwest Greece. And that river was believed to be one of the rivers that carried the souls of the dead to Hades, to the underworld. So you can see from the scientific name, which is from Greek, not Latin, that it has long been seen as associated with death. Mm-hmm. So it's a fascinating way of looking at how we interpret nature. So I would imagine that people didn't want to see these coming into their houses. It would have terrified them. So,
but
it's
are really just on the very edge of their range here in Eastern Ireland. You wouldn't even get them in the west of the country.
No, there are very few records outside the east and southern coasts. Very few records outside those areas.
I believe they've got a very, very small proboscis. That's their what they feed with.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, they can't get into a lot of flowers. So they raid honey from bees.
They do. And it's really short. The antennae are quite short as well. But if you actually think about this, it does make sense because it's such a large-bodied moth. It would need something fairly energy-rich to support its weight.
Mm-hmm.
And as it's an immigrant as well, as a migratory species, it needs to travel. So it needs a lot of fat reserves built up. Will I disturb her and let's see if she'll squeak? This squeaks, apparently.
Right.
So the literature says it squeaks when it's disturbed or alarmed. So let's have a go.
I can hear it. Oh, it's after opening its wings.
Yes,
is it a male
she's
or a
obliging us. It's a female. And look at that body.
Oh, it's absolutely beautiful.
Now, she has a blue band down the centre of the abdomen.
Yeah, you can see it. It's kind of a grey blue.
Yeah. But look at this. Look at the lateral black bands and the yellow on the abdomen. Now, just think now. If this is going into a beehive,
yeah,
maybe it needs to look like a bee. And the abdomen, it certainly gives that impression.
Yes.
It has quite a bee-like appearance with those black bands and the yellow on the abdomen.
It doesn't seem willing to fly. It's more content to walk on your hands.
Yes, they do that a lot. And I can actually feel the weight of this. It's, and she's flapping. She's vibrating her wings now to build up the flight muscles, the energy in the flight muscles, because it's actually quite cool in here. I didn't put the heating on today. She's vibrating her wings now. And she will fly. And the heat from my hand will actually encourage her to build up her body heat, and she will fly. Now, she's in the house, so she's not going to go very far.
Now, so, the antennae, if I look at the antennae, they're quite short.
They're quite short. They're black and white-tipped.
Yeah. And they're unusual, too, because large moths like that, they tend to have feathered antennae.
Yes, they do, but this one doesn't. And she's squeaking away, and what I'm doing is I'm actually just touching the thorax just to...
Underneath there, the mouth parts. I can't just see them. It just goes to show how small they are.
They're right under those palps between the two eyes. The eyes are quite large as well. And she has some grip, and it's actually a pinchy type of grip. It's like kind of... It's actually like being needled a little bit.
Yeah.
And she really... No, she's a ferocious looking
thing.
And
she's hanging on there, and you're turning your hand upside down, and she has no difficulty hanging on.
No difficulty whatsoever. Really, really strong grip. Really impressive. Now, just to look at the body on the underside there with the black bands and the yellow alternating, it does look like a bee.
It does.
It actually does look like a bee. So,
and it's quite large too, similar to a bee. In fact, it's larger than a bee.
I mean, you're talking queen bee here.
Yeah.
So maybe that's why it's not attacked when it enters beehives, because it is a honey robber.
You reckon then that the sound it's given off, that squeaking sound, maybe to deter bees from predating it or from attacking it?
It might be, but it's usually a sound, and you can see what it's doing here. When I'm touching it or alarming it, it's making that squeaking, probably to deter predation, because she's not in a position to fly off yet. She hasn't heated up enough to make her move, to get out of the way, I suppose. So she's... I'm going to get her to squeak again. There you go, squeaking away. Interestingly, I have offered her honey, but she hasn't taken it. Now,
do they feed as adults very much?
I would say they do, because they have to breed, they have to travel, and that can only be done with, you know, good reserves of food. I'm just going to pop her here, see if she'll sit. She likes climbing to the top of this container. So she'll actually probably settle now that I've let her down. But she's really, really impressive. I mean, the legs look like they're feathered. It just looks monstrous. It's a really impressive creature. However, it's important for people to know it is harmless. Like, as terrifying as it looks, it is a harmless and beautiful creature. But it is harmless. But when you look at it with long, dark wings cloaked over the body, it really does look like something that's not going to bring you luck.
And what are you going to do with this hawk moth?
Well, what I'm hoping to do is I'm going to wait a couple of days so that hopefully the weather will allow me to let her out. And she's really getting flighty now.
And she's very active there
now. She's very active now. I'm actually going to have to close it because she's going to get out. Look at that.
Wow. Yeah, she's flying inside.
She's flying now, yeah.
So she has warmed up.
She has warmed up. And it is actually nocturnal. I know it's bright in here, but it is a nocturnal flyer. Now she's warmed up because we've been here and we've been touching her and so on.
So will she migrate at this time of the year?
Yes, I think there's a good chance she will. Now, in actual fact, she has to, really, because the weather conditions at this time of the year are completely unsuitable. Look at her flying there. Yeah. She's really impressive.
She's very active.
She's really impressive.
She really wants to get out, doesn't she?
She really does. That's actually, do you know something? That's the first time she's done this since last. And it's Sunday today, and she's hatched on Thursday night. It's the first time she's actually been like this. But that's not unusual. There's a kind of a post emergence doziness in the adult. It'll sit there not doing very much.
Is that not dangerous to the animal?
Well, if you look at how well hidden that would be on a tree trunk, I mean, it would really blend in. It'd be very, very hard to find. And they will sit for a couple of days. That has essentially just sat there for 2 days. It hasn't attempted to do anything. This is the first time it's actually started to fly around. So she's beginning to settle down now. Now she's finally stopped and settled. So they will be dopey for a while, and then they'll start to become active again. But it's a real pleasure to see it.
So this is a good news story.
This is a great news story, to see a fabulous creature like this. And don't forget, it had to fly to get here. So obviously conditions were good enough for it to be able to get here and for the larva to be able to feed up and pupate successfully. It must have had a reasonably good year for that to happen.
So now that you've managed to rear this hawk moth successfully to an adult, what will you do with it?
I want to let her go. Now, it's a bit of a problem here because it's winter time. The temperatures are cool. It's a cold sensitive species. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait for a day when it's not too cold, but there is a northerly airflow. And why am I waiting for a northerly airflow? You think I've just contradicted myself. Well, it's a northerly airflow that will carry her south. Now, she will go in her own steam, but if she has a following wind, it assists her passage southward. So it sounds counterintuitive, put her out in a northerly wind, but that's really the way to do it. A nice northerly to get her southwards. So and that's what I'm hoping to do with her.
And hopefully then she'll arrive where?
Oh, somewhere in the southern, very southern edges of Europe. So, for example, this will overwinter as a pupa in climates that are warmer than ours, but that are not warm enough for it to be continuously brooded, for the moth to fly as an adult year-round. So I'm hoping she'll head to the southern European fringe or even to North Africa, where she'll find the conditions to her liking. So she'll need to find a mate, actually. So that's what I'm hoping to do. In the meantime, before that happens, I have some honey in there for her. Organic honey, by the way, too. Nothing but the best for her.
Right.
So I'll keep her well fed. And I'm just waiting for that perfect, nice, light, northerly breeze and decent temperatures to get her out and up and away.
Wouldn't it be lovely if you could track her? Put some little mini tracker on her to follow her all the way home. But it's not possible.
It's not possible for me, but it actually has been done.
Yes, with the painted ladies.
It's been done with the painted ladies, and it was done in a study in Malta where they put a tracker on a swallowtail butterfly. It was released and it flew from Malta, the mainland, to Gozo, which is another Maltese island, but it flew across the sea to Gozo and I think it lived for 22 days. So it is actually possible to track some of our larger butterflies and moths. I haven't got the equipment for it. I'd love to do it. But it is actually possible to do. And with the advancement in that kind of technology, we will learn a lot more about what our species do and where they go. Not just larger creatures like swallows, but also smaller creatures like butterflies and moths.
Oh, wonderful stuff, Terry. And I've seen the video you've made of it. My God, it's a scary looking moth, I have to say. And if you'd like to see it, you can visit the website rte.ie/Mooney. But scary it is.
Yes, and don't forget, turn the sound up and listen to it, because it's the only moth I know that makes a sound like it.
Well, I've got the sound playing there now in the background. You can hear the wings, which are fluttering. You can probably hear it there. And you've seen this, Niall, as well. Have you ever seen one in the flesh?
I've seen one in the flesh, but not in the wild, unfortunately. It was a captive specimen as well. And I did hear it make the squeak that they make. So they make that loud fluttering noise with their wings, but they also make this whistling noise or squeaking, very high-pitched whistle, by blowing air through their proboscis, their tongue. And that's really remarkable. It certainly would, I suppose, shock any predator that might want to try and eat them. It certainly had that effect on me. But what a stunning looking animal it is. It's really huge. But also that skull on the back, just at the base of the wing. The skull shape, it looks really like nothing else. So I'd love to see one in the wild. Some of my bird watching friends have come across them, but I've never been so lucky in
do
the wild.
Birds eat them, just out of curiosity?
So when it comes to the actual adult, I'm not sure. I imagine a bird like a nightjar would probably make short work of one if it found it. It'd be a very good meal for that. For the caterpillars, I'm not sure either. I know that a lot of the hawk moth caterpillars, they're very big, so you think they'd be very good food for birds. But actually, for some many cases, they're too big for those birds. Some of them are poisonous. We know that birds like cuckoos do like to tackle these large moth caterpillars. So I'd say a cuckoo might take it on, but it's rare we get the chance in Ireland, unfortunately.